Hello, everybody. What is good with you? The King of the Mountain podcast 2017 is upon us. BQ here with Kyle, and we're going to be talking Impact Wrestling. We're going to be talking One Night Only and a little bit of news as well. So this show is coming out a little bit late. Hopefully from here on out, they're not going to drop anytime past Sunday. But, you know, I had some sick kids at home. We had the One Night Only show Friday when we normally try to record Friday. So, you know, a little crazy this week, but we are in the place to be, myself and Kyle. Kyle, Anthem is the new owner of TNA. What are you thinking so far? How you digging it?
Oh, wow. What a roller coaster ride, man. I mean, so many friggin' ups and downs with this company, but things are finally looking good. I was just listening, you know, I've said many times on the show, you guys know I'm a big fan of Busted Open Radio. And yesterday they had Bully Ray on, and they asked him the question during the interview, how do you feel about TNA's recent changes? And he said, for the first time in many, many years, I'm optimistic about TNA. And he said, quote unquote, they finally got rid of the problem, which I would assume was Dixie in her position. They finally got rid of the problem that held them back for so many years. And he also mentioned, saying it without saying it, that he would love to come back and wrestle Broken Matt Hardy, the Bully Ray character versus the Matt Hardy character. And I definitely agree with that. So, I mean, you're hearing it from a guy named Bully Ray. You know, this is one of TNA's biggest stars ever. You know, I think he would know his shit. So when you hear him saying that they finally did make a change, because many times we've been duped to thinking they made the change and it didn't really change anything. But finally, things have actually changed. We have a new company driving the TNA brand forward, which is Anthem Sports. New logo. So much new stuff to be excited about. BQ, what's your take on it?
Man, this is good stuff. I'm excited. The logo, I was, you know, had mixed emotions at first. TNA posted it today with a black background, and it is much sharper that way than the way it was initially leaked. But that's really cool what you're saying about Bubba Ray. We're going to see him at one point. There's no doubt. I know that we are.
In this interview, dude, he made this great point. He was saying how, like, Bully Ray and Matt Hardy are two people that basically had the potential to be the big guy in WWE. And due to whatever politics, it couldn't happen. And they both went to TNA, a smaller brand, and reinvented themselves and really got to, you know, show their stuff. Basically saying it would be great to see both of those two characters clash against each other. You know, that tells a great story. And I totally agree with him. I would love to see Bully Ray back in TNA going against Broken Matt Hardy.
And here's something positive that I've seen on the internet the last couple of days. So, you know, every day I Google TNA, and all of a sudden, all these new websites are covering TNA that weren't covering it before. And they're saying things like, hey, we're now covering TNA because we're very optimistic about the future of the company. You know, it's like, ding dong, the witch is dead. And now all of a sudden people are like, okay, we're ready to treat this like a wrestling company.
You know, and another more icing on the cake, Jeff Jarrett's back. Dutch Mantel's back. These are two guys that were at the head of the ship during TNA's most successful years. Anthem made a power move. They obviously know their stuff. They said, hey, these are guys that were here a part of TNA when TNA was doing its best work, you know, running its best numbers, biggest houses. And they made a great decision by, A, bringing them back, and, B, having Dixie Carter step down from my understanding. Dixie Carter still has a small share. You know, she gave the majority share to them, the 85%. She has a small 5%, and then the other percent is Arrow Lux, whatever that means. And she's doing something with the company, but she's not in her chairman position. She's not calling any shots. That's all on Anthem.
She works for Anthem now. Yeah, that's what I'm understanding. She has a role with Anthem, not having nothing
to do
employed.
With TNA. She's still employed. You know, and you know what, and I have no problem with that. I saw people talking shit online, but let's be real. Dixie is probably the one that kept TNA from dying a few times. I don't think anybody could even argue that. So, I obviously Dixie, not the best of business person. She made a lot of bad decisions over the years, but she's definitely, her parents' money and all that is the one thing that kept TNA alive. she's the one who fought for the company. So I think it's wrong to just, you know, want her to piss off forever. I think it's good that they keeping her at a small position, but she's still part of the company. And now you have Jeff Jarrett back. How do you feel about Jeff Jarrett coming back?
I'm really excited about that, actually, because you made a point. Jeff was here for the good. He was also here for the really low, and I don't mean the really low like last year's really low. I mean like the freaking Mickey James dead storyline and shit like that. You know what I mean? He was there for, at least I think he was there around that time, but he was there for some like really bad shit too.
But, well, it was his, I'm pretty sure he was, him and his father started the company. They were the first ones to put TNA together, and Dixie Carter and her family were the investors behind the company that made it happen.
Yeah, so I'm excited about it. I think it's a good thing. I think any mistakes he's made in the past, I think he's really learned from. So I think he's going to be a smarter businessman. I think we're going to see some Global Force guys, but we're not going to see TNA on Global Force because they don't have a freaking show. Jeff Jarrett is not allowed, per contract, not allowed to be on TV, so people thought he might be an on-screen character. That is not going to be the case. He's just strictly behind the scenes. Dutch Mantel's a great mind. And you know what I was thinking is really funny? When WWE released all those guys last year, we have almost all of them now because we got Swoggle. We're just missing, like, Alex Riley.
Yeah, and Ryback.
Right, right. Or Adam Rose. I mean, those were at different times. But as far as when they had that chopping block where you know, the Black Friday where they got rid of, like, six people, you know, almost all of them are TNA. And I was telling someone today, I said, well, I'm tired of TNA signing old WWE guys. Well, where do you want them to work? That's what I tell people. Where do you want them to work? Like, there's not that many wrestling companies. It's one thing if it's like, you know, back when they were signing the Nasty Boys and shit like that. It's not like they're bringing in the old guys now. Like, now they're just bringing in guys who are released by the company that they think they can do something with. I don't have a problem with that.
They're trimming the fat, and they're everybody they have, they're using. And, you know, a lot of the people that haven't been used, I think we're going to slowly, you know, seeing this transition of Anthem coming in power, we're going to see some people get released. Mark Andrews, Mandrews, if you didn't hear the news, he's a part of the WWE United Kingdom Championship Tournament, so he's done at the moment with Impact Wrestling. Always was a fan of Mandrews. You know, I wish him the best going forward. I wish him luck and success, and if he does make it in the WWE, good for him.
And Raquel is gone.
I didn't really, you know, it's funny how people are on the internet. I saw people, like, complaining, and it's like, you know, she was good. She had some good matches in Shine, but I just don't know if she had a place in Impact Wrestling right now. There really wasn't anything for her.
No, it was a waste of a roster spot. We had a lot of knockouts last year who weren't wrestling. You know what
I
mean?
Her TV time could have been a Jade or Sienna match.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I think we're going to start. You made a point, man. I want to actually go back to that real quick before I get to my next topic. Everybody, when they come to TNA, with the exception of Caleb Conley, has a role. They have a job. And
that's another Team X Gold. We have no answer for that. But I did read online yesterday that Caleb Conley was filmed for Total Nonstop Deletion. But no, actually, I'm sorry. I don't think it was Total Nonstop. No, all right. It might have been. It was one of the Hardy specials. Anyway, he had a spot filmed for it, and it got scrapped. And apparently in this article that there's at least four hours, it said, of unreleased Broken Brilliance footage from some of these events. And I know that there's a DVD coming out. Impact Wrestling hasn't released a DVD in a while, but I know that there's a Broken Hardys DVD coming out soon. So if we could see a director's cut, which this was talked about in the article, with 4 hours of unreleased footage, that's going to be brilliant. I think you could agree with that, BQ.
Absolutely. And to go back to what I was saying, with the exception of Caleb Conley, everyone has a role. And I get really discouraged when I see what I saw this week when NXT makes a bunch of signings. Like, they signed four girls out of, you know, they signed a Heidi Lovelace, Andrea, like a Japanese wrestler I'm not too familiar with. And then, what the hell's her name? Kimber Lee, who was Ali's tag team partner, the Kimber Bombs. None of those girls really are going to move the needle for anybody. They're not great in the ring. They're pretty good, but they're not great. They're not particularly attractive, you know what I mean? But
and it's
I get
like
upset.
They're just signing people to sign people.
Right, because I get upset because I watch them on Shine, and now I'm not going to see them anymore. You know what I mean?
Exactly. WWE is trying to put a monopoly on professional wrestling, which they already have for so many years. But now they're trying to put an even tighter monopoly on it. And they had no competition for so many years. They're actually competing with the little guys. They're bullying the indie federations. And you could say, yeah, but guys are getting opportunity. But are they really? People are getting signed just to get signed, and the companies are feeling the effects. It's not just Impact Wrestling. It's Ring of Honor. It's all of these even small independent promotions like Shine. And that's crazy, man. There's not enough time on WWE Network for you to sign every fucking wrestler in the world.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying we're never going to see them anymore. But that is where TNA now can finally compete, because they can say, hey, you can come here, may not make as much money, but you will be on TV. And which is always a good thing, even if it's not the same. And we have a role for you. We have a role for you. Look at Allie. You know, her and Kimberly were equals on the indies. Allie's on TV every week. Kimberly is going to be whatever.
And like I just said, and we have an app. And I can't wait to see what they're going to do with the Fight Network moving forward. And or the TNA Total Access app. I think the possibilities are endless. And we're going to see some different things. But let's get through these first tapings. These tapings are going to take us in for how long are these tapings covering us, do you know?
Yeah, they're covering until March. So in March, they have another week that they're going to do. And then what the rumor is at WrestleMania time, they're going to hit the road and do a house show in Orlando. Possibly partnering up with an independent company. So doing like a super show type of thing.
Yeah. But now that Anthem's just coming in, like I was saying, I think that we're going to get to these tapings through March. And come March, we're going to see some real changes. Because now Anthem's just getting their feet wet. They're just getting in the door. Give them a little time, and let's see where the company is of March of this year.
Absolutely. So let's talk One Night Only first. We're gonna cover it really, really quick. You know, the good, bad, ugly, whatever. And then we're going to get into Impact. I know initially we wanted to do two separate podcasts, but let's talk One Night Only. This kicked off with, this was my favorite match of the evening, Davey Richards and Bobby Lashley. I thought it was really cool hearing the Wolves music and seeing Davey come out, because we're so used to seeing Eddie. Like, it just felt really, really different. I forgot how incredible Davey was in the ring, because what'd you think about those suicide dives he was doing?
I was texting you during the match, man. I said to you, man, he worked so hard. I'm so excited that he's back. And a lot of wrestlers say this is going to be their last year, and it doesn't really pan out that way. But when Davey Richards says this is going to be his last year, I think that I believe him. I think he's got other things going on in life. He's fought through a lot of injuries, a lot of surgeries, and I think this is going to be his last year in pro wrestling. It was great to see him back. Him and Lashley went out there and just fucking tore the house down like you knew that they would. Not a surprise. You see Davey Richards versus Bobby Lashley on paper, you know you're going to see a kick-ass match.
And it was very kick-ass, and this was a great One Night Only. I've seen some complaints about it. I think people were mad because there weren't title changes, but I don't like title changes just for the sake of a title change. You know, a good show does not mean there's title changes. All the champions are fairly new. Like, you know, no one passed October.
And it was live. It was live. That gives it such a better vibe. We never get live shows as TNA fans. You should be happy that they pulled off a live show, and it was as awesome as the show was. People will complain about anything, BQ. Don't you hate that? People will nitpick and complain every little thing.
Right, and my gut is telling me that we're going to get a live One Night Only at the beginning of, you know how usually we get the live Impact when the taping start? I think we're going to get the live Impact and the live One Night Only. So I think it's going to be like a quarterly thing. And it seems like they're changing the One Night Onlys too, because didn't they announce a brand new one for?
Well, actually, I don't know, because I read online that they filmed the Rivals and the Joker's Wild, and those are two regular ones. But they might produce them differently, and they might have other plans for other pay-per-views moving forward. But that could be a contract thing. They might be contracted to a certain, whether it's the pay-per-view companies or the app companies like Fight TV, not Anthem's Fight Network, but you know the other one, Fight TV, F-I-T-E. The TNA is in bed with a lot of companies. There's like so many websites you could stream these TNA pay-per-views from. So they might be, you know, tied up to contracts where they have to produce certain shows. I really don't know. But I can't wait for them. You know, I think we got the hardest working roster in professional wrestling today. And the one night only shows might not be as meaningful as the Impact episodes, but the way I view it is it's kind of like watching a house show. You know, I'm watching good old classic wrestling, and they get longer matches out there, you know, pay-per-view style, long matches, and you get the promos in between each one. I love the one night only shows, BQ.
I think they're actually going to be a lot better in 2017 because it was Dixie's brainchild, kind of where hey, it's going to be like this house show that has nothing to do with Impact. I think they're going to cross over a little bit more now, but
so
Lashley got this win via tap out. Good match. I would have liked to see him work Davey Richards' arm before that tap out, but you know, great match. X Division elimination match. So we get DJZ, Braxton Sutter, Trevor Lee, and Andrew Everett. DJZ said something before this match where he's like, he basically insinuated that he wrestles the same people all the time, which he does. So I think you took that as maybe there's going to be some new faces. I took it as maybe like he was just pointing out really what's wrong with the X Division. You know, just another random match, but it was a really good match. This was one of my favorite X Division matches.
I mean, it's the same X Division match essentially we've been getting for a while. Same few guys, same crazy stunt show. I want to see more meaning in the X Division. Team X Gold was a flop. I want to see more emphasis on the title and the matches. Like, I want to see like 2 out of 3 falls match between Andrew Everett and Braxton Sutter, I guess, is a good pick. I want to see more emphasis on, because to me it's like they just randomly throw them out there, the same few guys, and a lot of the importance isn't there. And, you know, I feel like WWE's lighting a fire under their ass with 205 Live and the Cruiserweight, and it's like, we've always had the X Division. Let's remind the people that, you know, with Anthem coming in, I hope that they do more with the X Division moving forward. That being said, this match didn't do anything for me, really. It was just the same match we've been getting.
So, former friend of the show, Robbie E, was debuted with a new gimmick, new music. So, let me put this out there real quick, because I don't know how many people know this, but the reason Decay has new music was because Anthem decided they didn't want to pay Marilyn Manson anymore. Now, with that being said, several other people have new gimmicks, but they have new music. So, Robbie E, Jesse Godders, Ali, Laurel should be having new music coming up. I really liked hers before.
And then, I believe it's all the songs made by this one artist. I don't know who it is. Some independent artist affiliated with Billy Corgan.
So, and then the other Rex should probably debut new music too. So, you know, the artist is Staria. I actually met her. I sat next to her, Bound for Glory, to be honest. So we chatted a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we chatted a little bit.
Or just an artist?
No, she's an artist. She's an independent artist. I forgot her actual name because I'm just used to the group name she has, Staria. But she's the one who had done the music for, and Marche Rocket was another one. It was the ones that had the real electro sound to them. Those
Job
were the
turkey.
Ones. Yeah. But those were the ones that she did. She actually offered TNA to keep the music for free, or Anthem, I should say. Anthem turned it down. And, use their normal music guy, so really weird. So we're getting a lot of new
well, at least music. It tells you that there is a creative force, there is a direction. You know, if they're turning her down for free, then they do have a direction and they have other things planned moving forward.
Exactly. So but we get Robbie E with a new gimmick, I don't even want to call it a new gimmick. He has new trunks, new music. But I actually thought maybe we're going to kind of get more of a serious Robbie E. Did you feel like he's just the same character when he went out there and started talking?
I don't know. You know, it just kind of came out of nowhere. It's Robbie E. I guess it's you're going to see a little more of the Robbie E that you would see when you go see Robbie E at an independent show in a bingo hall somewhere, you know? Like Robbie E on the road, not him in any sort of bromance character. He's just going to go out there and be himself. And, I mean, we've only seen one instance of it so far, so I don't want to judge it too much. Give it a few more episodes and see where they go with it. But I guess it's better than him being in the bromance. We've made it a point a few times that we don't want to see the bromance together. So I guess it's something else.
Only problem is we're now lacking any kind of babyface tag teams outside of the Hardys and the Wolves. Wolves may not last
drought.
Long.
Big drought. There's a drought. We need new tag teams to come in.
Yep. And that's why we've been getting some heel versus heel action, because, you know, they don't have a babyface tag team to feed him. So,
well, speaking of tag teams, we're going to get to it later in the episode, but I'm going to ask you now because we're on the subject. How do you like Tyrus and Eli Drake rolling together?
I liked it, but I was disappointed with the pairing because it didn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, he wasn't a good mystery partner. You know, that's like the Big Show mystery partner. Like, that's, but also remember a couple weeks ago, Eli Drake tried to hire him and he said no.
That's
all of a sudden now he's his tag team partner.
Yeah. You know, I feel like we're going to see a lot of people get reboots on their gimmicks. We're going to see a lot of character changes. I mean, unfortunately, that's just one of the cons with a transitional period when you got a new force coming into play.
Right. So, but Robbie E calls out a member of the DCC. He gets Bram. Bram pretty much kicked his ass. And wins the match. He did cheat, hit the low blow, brighter side of suffering. So really like seeing Bram in the heel role. And hopefully we see a little bit better for Robbie than that. We'll see. Now we get the no holds barred non-title match. It was a grand champion, Moose versus Mike Bennett. So this was, you know, along with Davey and Lashley, this was the other real big impressive
definite highlight
match
of the show, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Definite highlight.
Yeah, so this was your favorite match. So what was some of the reasons it was your favorite?
You know, it's not the match specifically. It's just me. Like, I'm just becoming such a huge fan of Moose, man. I think Moose goes out there and kills it. I think he's got charisma. He's moving around like a cruiserweight. You see those moonsaults he was hitting? I mean, come on, dude. This guy, Moose, is a mega star. He's got so much potential. I want to see him be the TNA World Heavyweight Champion by the end of the year, personally.
I do too. He was doing some really, really good stuff, stuff we hadn't seen him do yet. And this match was really good. This is my concern. I know we're going to talk Impact a little bit later. We're going out of order here a little bit, but Moose gets two straight wins over Mike Bennett, beat him at Bound for Glory too, but that's besides the point. Gets two straight wins. I'm a little concerned with Mike Bennett at this point. I thought he was going to be a really good person to take the title off Eddie Edwards, but
well,
now,
let's talk about something that we missed in the beginning of the show. News: Mike Bennett's contract is up, man. And apparently, it went up when the new year changed. You know, he's working per booking, I guess, with these tapings. But he hasn't re-signed yet. No news has broke about him signing another contract. On his Instagram page, he posted up an old picture of the Kingdom from Ring of Honor and wrote, maybe it might be time to get the band back together. That could be a hint, but that could just be classic contract negotiating. Whenever you're going to re-sign with a big company like that, you always want to put your other options out there so they give you a more lucrative offer. So he could be teasing just so TNA offers him more, you know, gives him a bigger cut of the cake, so to speak. But I think it would be a real loss if we see Mike and Maria leave, because I think they are two of TNA's hottest acts. They only came in last year, and I think it'd be a real shame if he went off back to Ring of Honor.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to lose him. And he's made a point, you know, on podcasts and interviews and stuff where he says, you know, TNA giving me opportunity to be a top heel. Ring of Honor wasn't willing to do that. So, you know, I think
he seemed to be a big buddy of Billy Corgan. So with the Billy Corgan loss, I think that definitely had something to do with it. Because I remember during that whole ordeal, him tweeting like suspicious things, basically putting, you know, hints that he was unhappy.
Right. But Dixie Carter's gone. So if Dixie was still running it, then I think Bennett would have been out. But I think right now the optimism is there. And, you know.
And while all this is going on, David Lagana and Billy Corgan are building up another wrestling company. Apparently they're doing something. I follow both of them on social media. They're always getting together. And they put, I'm pretty sure David Lagana said on Busted Open Radio, it was that they're doing something. They haven't announced what. I saw that both of them were recently following Ring of Honor on Twitter. I don't know if that has something to do with it, but to me, Ring of Honor wants nothing to do with creative, written wrestling like that. You know, they're very old school. They like to tell their stories in the matches. So it's like, I don't see them having a place in Ring of Honor, but apparently they got something up their sleeve, and I can't wait to see what it is.
Unless he takes, like, Nigel McGuinness's place or something like that, you know what I mean? But
yeah, I hope not.
So we get Marche Rocket and Mahabali Shira. Marche Rocket tried to cut a heel promo, jive turkey a little too much, but he tried to cut a heel promo.
You put it out there. You know, you might as well just pick up the microphone and say, "Hey, everybody, my new catchphrase is jive turkey. That's my catchphrase." He's just spewing it out left and right.
But Marche Rocket is so likable.
Looks like a good guy. I would trust him with my children, you know?
Exactly.
Like a
so
good guy.
Yeah, so I just think that, you know, the heel thing isn't totally working. He went out there, cut a heel promo. The crowd didn't really know what to make of it, you know, mainly because they like him, number one, and number two, because they haven't had much of a reason to care so far because we haven't seen that much of him. So I thought it was a really bad bad judgment call to have him go out there.
Didn't they hint in an episode that he was part of the Helms Dynasty? I swear to God, that was something for like an episode or two. Like, they've been inconsistent with his booking, but with this is a regular this is a regular theme for this episode. We're gonna see how things are with Anthem coming into power.
Absolutely. Then we get Gail Kim. She comes out, lets us know that she's not retiring, that she's just not medically clear to wrestle, so that's a good thing. And then we get the Knockouts title match, Rosemary and Sienna. On paper, this is a really cool match, but it's a heel versus heel match. The crowd didn't really know what to make of it. Sienna controlled most of the match, so Rosemary wrestled as the babyface.
And also I feel like it's hard to call Decay heels because there's so many Decay fans in the crowd.
Yeah, but we don't want them to go. We'll probably talk about this a little bit in the next
episode.
It's very
Wyatt family, you know what I mean? They're very in between.
Yeah, but I don't want them to go a babyface route with them. But this was a cool match as far as, I enjoyed it. It's two girls that I really enjoy watching, but we didn't really know what to make of it. And so the crowd didn't know who to connect to because you're supposed to boo both people. But the crowd doesn't necessarily dislike both people, so... tough match to get into, but Rosemary is still the champion. And also Mahali Shear, I didn't say the result. He did defeat Marche Rocket, probably the worst match on the card if we're just, being honest.
Yep, and he's going to be winning some matches if they get to India in the summer, that's for sure. He's going to be the star of that tour.
And that's what I thought it was. That's how I took it, to be honest. So, Jesse Godders versus James Storm was after that. This was a really well worked out match. Godders came out with a new look, same poses and all that, so it's not a new gimmick, but he has a new look, new music, and so we're
gonna
get. Do you
think they're just picking up where they left off with him? Like, is he just gonna go back to that Adonis character?
No, I don't think so, because that worked as a heel, which was a great character, man. Oh my god,
I know that was one of your favorite, like, you know, hidden gems at Impact.
Loved it. Oh god, him with Eli Drake too. That there was just
definitely some classic there. Moments. A lot of chemistry.
Yeah, but this was well done. This is one thing I don't know if it bugs you with the DCC. James Storm, I don't know if he had been a babyface for so long, but when he's doing the little hand gesture but running around doing it with the crowd. That's a babyface move. It just to turn to the crowd and put your hands up is not a babyface, but the sidestepping he does and, the getting the crowd pumped up, that's babyface stuff. I wish he'd slow it down a little bit.
They're really blurring the lines between, heel and face.
Yeah, and I don't like that. That's one of the reasons I couldn't do WWE anymore. I hate that blur. So, tag team championship match. This is Broken Hardys against Eli Drake and Tyrus. We talked about the Tyrus and Eli Drake pairing. I had said I didn't really care for the him being the mystery partner, but I will say I like the match as far as that. I really felt like Eli Drake seemed more important in this match than he had previously in other matches. I don't really know how else to explain that, but I actually felt like there was a chance those guys could take the titles, and I wouldn't be mad at it. I wouldn't mind them as the champions, but to take the titles
wouldn't have been bad.
Yeah.
Apparently, Tyrus filmed a segment of the Greg Gutfeld show. Greg Gutfeld.
Yeah, I watched that.
Bob behind the scenes during the pay per view. Apparently, shot something. It's a political show, right? It's a politics show.
Yeah.
I've never watched it.
Yeah, I watch it a little bit. He's pretty good. He's very well spoken. On Fox News, he's on the Fox station. He's Tyrus. That's his name. And he dresses like he does normally. So it's not, he's not a.
That's good. He's washing off the name Brodus Clay. He's getting out there as the name Tyrus.
Yeah.
It's good for him. Because you don't want to be Brodus Clay.
Yeah. And I saw the segment he did for the show where he actually said, I'm at my TNA pay-per-view. So I was glad he threw TNA out there, because if you look at Tyrus's Facebook, it's like former WWE wrestler. And that's it.
Yeah, so, I think his name on Twitter still is Brodus Clay.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's up with that. That's
he's keeping it, He loses his blue check mark if he removes it.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, Hardys win the match. So good stuff. And then the world title match was Eddie Edwards and EC3. This was it was cool. It was a good match. I think I was just bored because we just kind of keep. It was a really well-worked match. It's just like we just keep seeing these dudes, and we're going to see them again because next week on Impact, the number one contender match is EC3 versus Lashley, so we're going to see the same shit in the world title picture that we've been seeing for a while. I think it's hurting Eddie Edwards.
Yeah, a lot of repetition. There's a lot of repetition in the booking.
Yeah, and with Eddie Edwards, he's not getting clear-cut wins, so that's kind of hurting him too. His only clear-cut wins were versus Cody and Eli Drake. The rest has been... something. And then we get Davey Richards came down, accidentally hit EC3 with the chair, and then Eddie gets the win. So they're kind of teasing something with the Wolves. We don't, I hate the idea of breaking them up. I truly do, but
they love breaking up tag teams, man. They do. If this is Davey Richards' last year in pro wrestling, maybe it was his choice. Maybe he doesn't want to be a tag team wrestler for his last year. Clearly, they're going the he's jealous of Eddie route. That's what it seems like to me. I think that's it's kind of hokey, though. I know you probably feel the same. It's just kind of typical. You just know they're going to do that. I'm really in between about it. I don't know. I don't even know what to think. But I'm a fan of him, so whatever. I'm just happy he's here.
So let's talk Impact. First Impact of the year. I will say I thought the show in general had a new energy, a very positive energy. Now, you were there for the kickoff last year on Pop TV in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and I think some people were optimistic, but there wasn't a new positive energy like this.
It's that new management, baby. New management in the house. It's a really refreshing feeling, and I like that they moved it to a smaller soundstage. I think the tighter room just makes the crowd look better. And I think the audio is a little better.
I thought so too. It looked like and I don't know if it was a one-time thing or not. It looked like the previous soundstage, but I thought what was different, it seemed like there was a tighter gap between the guys standing on the ground and the crowd behind them. So that's what it appeared to be. But I really like the new the blue ropes, because when I was taking my graphic design certificate, my favorite class I took was color theory. And I was learning that colors, elicit certain reactions and feelings within people. So, for instance, McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, they all predominantly use the color red because red is tied in with hunger. People see the word red and it subconsciously think eating and think food. So colors are very, very important. And I think when they just had the black, it was just very dull. And I really felt the blue ropes really added a new life to it. I thought Brooke Hogan was going to come out and run the Knockouts division. It kind of threw me back there a little bit. But I always liked the old blue ropes that they had. So I was happy about it. So
it looks better. It definitely looks better. I like the blue ropes as well. I've always felt that way. The black ropes just gave it kind of a dull, dark look. The blue ropes, like you said, adds life to it. And they're making changes. At first, I wasn't a big fan of the new logo, but it started to grow on me, and I've accepted it. I'm just like you said, the newer one they put out all touched up. Not bad. Not a bad logo.
Right. People kind of feel like, they're kind of indifferent about the owl or whatever. That's Anthem's thing. It's whatever. I don't care. We got a new logo. That's going to mean new merchandise. It's going to mean it's a beginning of a snowball. Again, it looks a lot better on the black background than the initial leaked version of it. So I got no problem with it. I can see some people giving him a hard time for it, but, you know, it's not that bad. So Eddie Edwards kicks off the show. We've talked about this before, kicking off with the talking segment and the revolving door segment about someone's music hits and someone else's music hits and this and this. That's what WWE does, and it's a very bad habit to have. You don't want to do that. You want to. It's okay to kick off with a talking segment, but for me, this went way too long. Did you feel that way too?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't the open. Like, I'm traditional. I like to open with a match, you know. Once in a while, something slow. But kicking off with the long in-ring argument is just, it's too Monday Night Raw for my taste.
Absolutely. It was too long, but good energy with all the wrestlers, good energy with the crowd, you know, good stuff. So, first match of the evening, I wouldn't have kicked off with a Grand Championship match by any means, but they kicked it off with Moose versus Mike Bennett, Grand Championship. This was probably my top two favorite Grand Championship matches, along with the tournament match between Eddie Edwards and Drew Galloway. But what are you thinking with Moose? What do you think about the Grand Championship match in a match like this, which is more important than a Aaron Rex versus Baron Dax, for instance? I mean, did you feel different about this because of the guys involved? There were people we care about.
I mean, I've made it a point on the show many times that I'm not the biggest fan of the Grand Championship format. I'm just not feeling it with the voting system and everything. I've made that a point many times. I can't lie. I'm just not feeling it. Not vibing. It's not for me, but I love Moose. Moose does make the title important. But personally, with Anthem coming in, they're like MMA is kind of their thing. So they might like this. They might try to keep this and build it into something better. Are you on board with this? You like the MMA style rules? I forget what your take is.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me at all. I just think the right guys have to do the match, and I think the match has to be a little more
special. It's got to be executed perfectly to work, you know?
Yeah, exactly. What I did not like with this is, I don't know why they did this, but between the rounds, instead of just saying round one goes to Moose, they did judge one rules it, judge two scores at this, judge three. No, that's wasting way too much time. So I also thought having a commercial in the match kind of hurt it a little bit. Because when
we're forgetting a big thing here, dude. The fucking Schitt's Creek plugs. What the hell was that shit? We had so many of them.
Schitt's Creek is on fire, man.
Maybe it's something for the network, like, that they have to do. You know, you got to play politics to get by in the business world sometimes. That's just how it is. I can understand that. But I feel like there was way too many Schitt's Creek. It's one thing when Josh is taken away from matches and, like, something cool happens and all of a sudden he starts plugging Schitt's Creek. That's one thing. But when you subject the viewer to previews, more than one preview with that, that's kind of ridiculous. You know, I'm not a fan. But it's a lot better than seeing That 70s Show commercials, huh?
Oh, yeah. Especially that one on loop, dude.
You know, just man hands, boobs, what was it? I'm not wearing a bra.
I have the biggest hands in the world, yeah.
Dude. That was a blooper, you know. But we have a sense of humor here on the show. We can laugh at stuff, but we weren't laughing the night that happened, that's for sure.
That was awful. Moose wins the match. And I'm a little worried about Bennett, but, you know, we talked about this before. Hopefully, you know, it's probably because he's on a match-by-match situation that they're not going to, you know, necessarily push him. But then we get our first eyes on Swoggle. They're backstage. I thought it was pretty funny that he said, "Did your dastardly father, Mick Mahan, send you?" And Swoggle's like, he's not really my father. It's not real. So I thought that was kind of funny. And then Rockstar Spud challenges Swoggle to a match. You know, it was a 30-second match, but I'm going to tell you what I liked about this is that we've seen Swoggle wrestle a lot in WWE, and it was always him crawling under people's legs, biting them in the ass, biting them in the foot. It's always such a comedy act. Like this one, even though there was some comedy to it, it was still kind of a serious match. You know, he actually did a few moves. It wasn't, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like he wasn't biting people's asses and things like that. So that's what I did like about it. It was basically set up for Rockstar Spud to quit and say TNA sucks. So.
Well, here's the thing, BQ. Rockstar Spud, in normal circumstances, I would be like, hey, this is probably just a storyline. He's going to quit and try to get his job back. But this WWE UK tournament thing is taking off, and they already took Mandrews. How do you know that Rockstar Spud's deal didn't go out at the end of the year, and he's going to play his cards and try to make it in the WWE? You know, we don't know. Stay tuned. But I had that vibe, you know, right after he tweeted, TNA, thank you for the 4 years. He wasn't, like, in character, you know. He wasn't saying, oh, screw you, TNA, I quit. He was like, TNA, thank you for the 4 years. You know, here's my booking. So I don't know, man. We're going to see what happens.
Right. Well, James Storm did something very similar, too, and we saw how that played out. So I can't imagine they would fly a guy out for one show and then fly him back. But
yeah, that, I thought about that too. Why would they fly him there? And then, you know, but I think he lives in Nashville, actually. I'm pretty sure I heard that on a podcast that he has an apartment, and he probably travels with the TNA company, you know, on the company flight with Josh and the gang, JP. Imagine what those parties are like, the TNA after show parties.
Oh man, I know they kind of party local there, so next time I'm in town, man, I might have to.
We might have to check out the local bars, party with the Impact crew.
Yeah, I'm moving out of Florida in March. I'm going back to Illinois, so but I am planning on Slammiversary if it's in Orlando, heading back for that. So, and I'm definitely going to try to hang out, see where these dudes are partying, and all that good shit. So Eli Drake had a fact of life with the Hardys. At first, I was like, oh, man, this is really going to be a lot of fun. And what this ended up being was Eli Drake and the Hardys kind of going back and forth, being kind of ridiculous and trying to get their shit in. It was like Matt was going to say what he had to say and be whatever. Jeff played whatever role and just said a bunch of shit. Eli Drake, it's like this dragged so much. It was like, where is this going? Where is this going? I'm glad that it led to the eventual challenge where Eli Drake, you know, said, I want those belts. And that's what set up the one night only match. So that, I think that was actually the very first match where they said, hey, let's do this on the pay-per-view tomorrow. Or might have been Bennett and Moose. I don't know. And so, yeah, this was fine. I thought that it had a lot more potential than it really did. But it, you know, again, it was kind of people getting their shit in. I didn't really care for that a whole lot. So after that, we had Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett, Helms Dynasty versus Decay. So we get a heel versus heel match. Again, kind of like what we got with One Night Only. Worries me a little bit that we're seeing Decay wrestle heels. We've seen Sienna and Rosemary, Decay against the Helms Dynasty. Decay's going to feud with the DCC. Does worry me a little bit. I think DCC some good heels. I think Decay some good heels. I would be very disappointed if they kind of put him in some kind of babyface role. I don't think it's going to work. I hope it's just a quick fix because they don't have any babyface tag teams to work with right now. I mean, you can't even throw Shiro and Grado at them because they're not a team anymore. It'd be very random to throw Al Snow in there with Shira because Al Snow, that makes no sense. And then there's no more bromance. So I'm hoping Anthem has something cooked up as far as tag teams go. And I'm talking one-sided here, Kyle, because I know you had to mute for a little bit. I don't know if you're even able to punch in or not. So you can punch in if necessary. But this was a fine match. It was kind of short. It was only 3.5 minutes. And Helms Dynasty looked really weak. They continue to miss the boat with the Helms Dynasty, especially as a tag team. I think they can be a lot better than what they're doing. It really worries me because I don't want to see either of these guys leave the company due to crappy-ass booking when they can go somewhere who's going to treat them a lot better from a cruiserweight standpoint or let them do what they want to do in the ring. So But it was okay. The whole thing was just set up for the, you know, such a short match.
Yeah, you know, here's my thing with DCC, and you know me, man. I'm a very open-minded fan. I don't nitpick. I don't critique a lot of things. I'm a huge fan of all the wrestlers in the DCC. I love James Storm. I love Bram. Been a fan of this guy Kingston for many, many years. But I don't really like the gimmick too much. I'm not really a big fan of the whole mask and the anonymous videos and the promos at the beginning. I don't know. It's just not for me. I'm just not feeling it. I can't lie. You know, I'm really not a big fan. And I feel like they don't seem to have a very prominent spot on the roster. Like, it seems to me like they're just there to put other people over, you know, whether it's the Broken Hardys or now possibly Decay, or maybe they could get themselves a win through a feud with Decay. I don't know, but I'm a huge fan of all these wrestlers, but I'm not too hopeful on, you know, the impact, no pun intended, that their group's going to have on the company.
I actually do like them a lot. I enjoy the gimmick, but my concern with this feud right here is, what's it going to do for the loser? Like, neither of these teams can afford a loss. The loss that Decay had against the Hardys didn't hurt them, you know, whether it was the Wolf Creek's cage or the Bound for Glory match. That didn't hurt them, but what hurt them was that Team X Gold thing.
Yeah, and I think the biggest loss was the Marilyn Manson theme song.
I actually like the new song. Now, okay.
I like it, but I just, for me, that other song was just so signature, so it's going to take me some time to adjust.
No, it was perfect, don't get me wrong. At first, when I liked the screaming at the beginning of it, and then kind of like Bram's old music, and I didn't like the singing at first. I thought it was kind of weird, but then what I did like, and props to TNA for this, is that the song is structured the same way as the other one. So it has the crescendo towards the singing, and then it like gets bigger and more powerful.
And here's another thing that I, you know, now that I think of it, you know, one of the things we need in wrestling is progression. And this is something progressing, you know, it can't be it's Decay's characters evolving. You know, the theme song changes, you know, maybe the other one would have got stale. Who knows, you know? So I got to keep an open mind to everything.
I think it'll grow on you. I mean, after seeing, by the time Rosemary used it on One Night Only, I was kind of hooked on it. So,
nice.
So what do we have next? Sienna versus Allie. This was probably the moment of the show I really didn't enjoy as much as I love Allie, because it felt like, I think you're going to agree with me on this, I felt like they took 20 steps backwards with this storyline. I mean, it was the same backstage shit, and then in the ring went on way too long, and it's, you know, dumbass this, where she kept saying stupid ass, which I like, you know, having a little bit of edge, but I just felt like she already beat Laurel in the match. Why are you still acting like she's an employee of you? Like, they should have done some kind of angle where she broke off completely. You know, Brandy was supposed to be involved in this, and she's nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, I think they're just stretching it out a little. This is basically filler footage. This is just stretching out the story. They didn't want to move forward with it just yet. This is just us kind of getting, you know, what you said it was.
Yeah, so they end up having a match. I'm glad to see Sienna with those bitches now, because she, for whatever reason, she's always missing. When it's like, when they're supposed to be there to look pretty, Sienna's missing. Then when there's a wrestling match, Sienna's there. So, and Sienna's not a bad looking chick. It just, you know, for whatever reason. But they had a match, Sienna versus Allie. Kyle, man, Madison Rayne, dude. I love Madison Rayne. Bro, I love Madison Rayne. Like, if someone were to, like, hey, you can meet a knockout tomorrow, who would it be? It would be Madison Rayne, hands down. I love her. But her freak, this, it's not easy to be in the booth, but this shit is bad.
Here's what I want to ask you. Do you think she's better than her husband? And that's not saying much. You got a husband and wife here, and they both fucking suck at commentary. But do you think she's better than Josh?
No.
You know, we beat on Josh. Josh takes a lot of shit. But, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, he can hold his own, but he's got good days and bad days. I'll leave it at that.
But I want to give it props, because I do like the idea of her being in there. I think it's a good role for her.
It's cool. You know, hey, these are the knockouts, and here's a woman, the voice of the knockouts. I get it. I get what they're trying to do.
She's just not good. That's a problem.
Yeah, she's not good. It reminds me of back in the day, they put Lita on commentary when she hurt her neck. She was doing commentary with Jonathan Coachman on. I think it was like Sunday Night Heat or something, but I just remember like she just wasn't good.
Yeah, she would be good if this was like old school wrestling. Like if this was Ring of Honor or something. I think she could, because she's very serious, and I think I could see her, or maybe like in the 80s, you know what I mean? Like I could see it kind of working. But no, man, it doesn't work. And it's like Josh tries his best to like deflect to her, like, so, Madison Rain, what is it like being in the ring with a legend like Gail Kim? She's like, she's a good wrestler. Very hard to wrestle. Back to you, Josh.
So, Madison Rain, have you seen this week's episode of Schitt's Creek? It was hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, it's like she's not adding anything, you know?
She's clearly reciting lines off of a piece of paper. That's my problem, is she just sounds so scripted, you know? Like, some people are good actors and some people are bad actors. And unfortunately, in professional wrestling, you see some porno acting here and there, and this is just a great example of it. But apparently she's in creative. She's the voice of the females, not only on these commentary bits for the Knockouts matches, but she's on the creative team as well.
Madison Rain is a team player. And
team player.
I wish the best for this role. If they're going to stick with this, I really hope that she continues to get better. Because you don't just step in a booth and you're not good right away. You know?
No.
But
no,
we've heard,
no.
You know, Renee Young used to do it. And she did a really good job. I heard Vita Scott on a Shimmer pay-per-view, man. Phenomenal. So.
You think that's somebody TNA has to sign? Or did WWE grab her already?
No, they haven't grabbed her. I don't think they would have interest in Vita Scott. I think she's a better TNA character. I really do.
No, that's what I'm saying. Do you think TNA should sign her up?
Yeah.
If WWE didn't already?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I think the world of her.
And she's good on commentary? I'll take your word. I never
heard
it.
Oh, my God, dude. She's a phenomenal talker, but in the booth, like, they're... Oh,
very entertaining.
Great.
Like,
yeah. So, no, but I mean...
That's somebody they should look into.
But I hope that she, you know, if they continue with that role with her, because she's part of the creative team, awesome. You know, she just has to get better. And you can't hear her half the time, so that's what kind of kills me. But we're going to, you know, getting back to the match, I think they do a good job of Ali wrestling and not knowing how to wrestle. Like, they balance it pretty good. I laugh whenever she does, like, a move that's really good.
She's like getting there, man. She's learning.
Yeah,
I think we're going to see her split off completely, and I think her and Braxton are going to become an item.
Yeah, which is a good role for Braxton. Yeah. But they got it. Now they got to do this soon. I was okay with the slow burn, but now we got to
time to get it together.
So, and now main event time, Eddie Edwards versus EC3 and Lashley. Again, just like the one night only pay-per-view, good. I mean, it was a good match. It was actually a very well-worked triple threat match, but you know, like I just said with One Night Only, like it's just the same guy. I think it's hurting Eddie Edwards' title reign quite a bit. Like, if you're going to be a fighting champion, be a fighting champion. You're not going to remember this, but when Bret Hart first won the WWF title a long time ago, he was the first like fighting champion in WWF as far as the world title, because the world title was always like a really part-time title. But he was defending it on like Challenge and Superstars, like the bullshit shows.
Yeah, from what I understand, like back in the day, like Hulk Hogan wasn't on TV every week. Andre the Giant wasn't on TV every week. Those top guys, from my understanding, were part-time guys. So you're saying like Bret Hart was the type of guy that he was on all the programs, and he was always wrestling, holding the belts. What you're saying?
Yes, and he was wrestling mid-card guys, defending the title, like being an actual fighting champion. So that's what Eddie Edwards should be doing. You know, I would have, you know, it's like he had the Eli Drake match, which was cool, but I feel like, you know, they could have done an Aaron Rex match or a Bennett match, or, you know, there's some stuff they could have done, but they just keep him in this role. And because he's not elevated enough yet, they're not going to give him a clean win over these guys. I mean, he had a clean win over Lashley when he won the title, but it's just like there's always a caveat to how he wins the matches. There's always something there, you know.
Now you got to keep your eye on Davey Richards. Keep your eye on that man.
I'm so indifferent on that. Like, I want them to be the Wolves so badly. I want them to be like the Briscoes, that they kind of like come together when necessary. But I don't think that's what they're going to do.
There's one thing, BQ, and I'm sorry this just popped in my head, but I noticed there's one name that's been left off of this entire broadcast, and I want to ask you what you think is his future for 2017. What are they going to do with Drew Galloway when he comes back?
That's interesting. You're probably aware, because you're on the internet like I am, that his contract is up in February. Mm-hmm. So I don't know Drew personally, obviously. I feel like he's the kind of guy, kind of like EC3, kind of like what I think Matt Hardy's going to do, where he knows who gave him the really real opportunity, and I think he's going to stick around. But I think because he's fielding other offers. Mm-hmm. I think the problem with TNA, what I'm understanding, is that they want to lock him down to that exclusive deal. Kind of like, and that's the problem with the Hardys too. But the Hardys are making so much money independently. And Drew
Galloway
they're
showing up on Ring of Honor pay-per-views, apparently.
Yeah. And well, Galloway's...
Hardys probably get that extra pull, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But I'm hearing that they're going to make Matt like a... kind of a part-time member of the creative team. That's part of the pitch they're trying to make to him.
He's definitely a great mind for the business. But with Drew Galloway, to me, it's like, here's something that I can't help but think. He won the TNA title already. Like, you know, like, as an athlete, he might want to leave TNA for a bit and go to Japan. You know, every wrestler loves going to Japan. That's part of, you know, the boyhood dream of being a professional wrestler is doing stuff in Japan. I think there's a chance that we might see him go into the Ring of Honor New Japan direction, only because he already won the TNA title, and I don't know what I see for him. Does he come back and go into the title scene? I don't know, and I'm very curious. But I like Drew. I want him to stay in Impact Wrestling, but if he doesn't, you know, I won't be mad at him. Like, I was mad at Eric Young when he left Impact Wrestling, but I won't be mad at Drew Galloway if he moves on.
Right. I totally agree with you. I think there's such an optimism with the new ownership, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that exactly. That's a whole different thing. That changes everything. Everybody's game plan changed the day Dixie got demoted.
Right. So, like, when I was in the military, for instance, say we had this, like, real shitty commander in charge of us. Like, when we had a new commander coming in, everyone was super, like, optimistic. They might have said they wanted to leave or wanted to get out, but all of a sudden, like, the new guy comes in and everyone's like, okay, let's hold the phone on and everything, let's see what this guy does. And we're seeing in a short amount of time, like 1 week, more changes, positive changes in TNA than Dixie Carter did in all of 2016.
Big statement right there, and it's so true.
So I'm super excited, man. You know, when I dropped off Twitter in October, because I after the lawsuit with her and Corrigan, I my passion took a shot.
We all got burnt out, man. All of us. We're willing to go out and say it. Like, our show took a dip in that time period, and not just our show, their show, everybody's show. It was we were all bummed out as TNA fans, everybody. We were all bummed out. But now you see a new regime driving TNA forward, making progression, making the right changes. Everything is changing. Just like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, the Bully Ray is optimistic for the first time in many years. Just everything seems to be moving in the right direction. And the roster deserves it, man. That roster's been through so much shit. And they just keep moving forward, and they keep going out there and busting their asses and working harder than anybody else in the industry.
So at the end of this match, Davey came down. This was his big return. I would have liked a different kind of return for him, because he already did something kind of like this before. But he came down, prevented Lashley from hitting Eddie with the title, busts a knee party, and gets the win. So overall, I thought it was a really, really nice kickoff to the year. I'm excited to see where it goes next week. We're getting the last man standing match of EC3 and Lashley, which should be a fine match.
It's going to be a good match. You know, it's something we've seen a few times, but we never seen them have this last man stand. That the gimmick in there, that changes everything. I think we're going to see a hell of a match between these two.
Absolutely. What else are we getting? We're getting the Wolves versus the Hardys. That's, you can't miss that.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're teasing Rosemary Angle with Rosemary and Jade, so they're going to revisit the Jade feud with Rosemary. It seems like they're going to try to capture the fire with Jade that Allie and Rosemary have on the independent scene.
Can't wait to see it. So,
and we know a couple spoilers for the show, unfortunately, but it's definitely a reason to tune in.
And we're trying to avoid them, people. Please don't message me your spoilers. When you see me on the Daily Impact on Instagram, please don't comment on the pictures and tell me who's showing up to the tapings. I've deleted a lot of comments in the past few days to the point where I'm not logging on anymore. I'm not reading anything. I'm not even going to go on Twitter. And if I do, I'm going to keep a blind eye to anything involving wrestling because I enjoy these episodes and I don't want to know what happens. I don't know why. I hate spoilers, man. Some wrestling fans, they love to read spoilers and then watch the episodes. It's like, why? Why are you even doing it?
I don't get it. And same with me on Twitter. Please do not DM me spoilers. I had to
please,
log off.
Please, people. Jesus keep your Christ. Shit out of here.
I had to log off Twitter for a week. After I was ready to go like full steam on with Twitter again, I was like, okay, I'm off. So, but that's going to do it for us. Apologies that this show is dropping so late in the week. We're going to try to be a lot better about that moving forward. And absolutely. So we will be back in a few days from now to discuss the upcoming episode of Impact. So for Kyle and for the MIA Will, this is BQ. Thanks for tuning in once again. Let's have a big 2017. Peace.